Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Newcastle West and Mona Lean remain the teams to beat after round 3 of the Limerick Senior Football Championship. Although Newcastle West were held to a draw by Ballysteen, Mona Lean had a 2-point victory over their Cross City rivals Napiershig. However, we start the review with Drumcullagh Broadford's 118-3-5 win over Adair.
This is one that we got wrong last week, and I suppose how many times do we have to learn the lesson, do not write off Drum Broadford? Apparently they played very, very well. Now, they started the game very, very brightly and went into a 5 or 6 points lead, but they were hit by a couple of goals by Adair, who led at halftime. But in the second half, Drum really, really took over. And, of course, you see, Drum had a narrow escape. They are permanent residents, as it were, of the knockout stages of the competition. And they had a narrow escape last year in that they only barely got in by the skin of their teeth. So it looks as if the mood out there is that they're getting that business put to bed as quickly as possible. And now sitting on 5 points, it would take a very, very brave man to bet against them going through to the knockout stages, the quarterfinals at least. And, like, there's one mouth-watering game coming up at the end of August when they'll meet Mona Lean in a game that could decide which of the sides will take the top spot in the group and the semi-final spot with it.
Yeah, Matt, they just look to have the winning habit, if you will. You know, that all that experience built over up over the years, it's not there for nothing. It definitely counts come tight games.
It does. You see, there are different systems that have been that have proved difficult for teams over the past. But Drum are the one team that master them all. For instance, last year when Newcastle West went into that defensive mode, when it came up to the quarter-final, Drum were the team that found the formula to get over it. Now, Adair are a good, open, fast play, nice, fast, open football. Drum are able to adapt to that. Anything literally that's put before them, they have been through so much, and they've done so much over the years that literally they can adjust and they can adapt to anything that's put before them. And I suppose on a very positive note for Drum and for Limerick, but maybe a bit too soon for Limerick, was the return of Shawnee Buckley, who played for the last, I think, about 15 minutes of the game and actually scored. So that is another positive. So out in Drum, it's maybe many of the faces that we're familiar with over the years have gone and have been replaced, but they have been successfully replaced. It looks certainly the messages after the weekend anyway, Drum Broadford, are anything but gone away.
Matt, that brings us on to Father Casey's and Raf Keel. A huge win for Father Casey's in that it puts them on 3 points now within points difference of Adair, and going into the last two rounds, they've got a shout of a quarter-final spot.
They certainly have, and now they played from Broadford in the next round, and they have Napiershig in the last round. So they will fancy their chances. We spoke last week about the difficulty that they had in that, I think we described it, the hemorrhaged players. But they still have a very, very strong squad because there is a great conveyor belt down in Father Casey's at underage level. Certainly, this was a very, very important win for them. Now, we're not saying that they're going to be county champions overnight or anything like that, but certainly they are going in the right directions, because had they lost this one, they would have been in serious difficulty. But I saw their team sheet. It looks, despite all the players that they have lost, they still have a very, very, very strong squad. And, of course, they would have an awful lot of players that would have a winning mentality, that would have won at underage level, won big games at underage level. And certainly it proved that they were convincing winners over at Kiel last week.
Okay, that brings us on to the last group game in Group 1. It was the Piercig and Monaleen. Not the most free-flowing of games, or the most high-scoring of games. Monaleen coming out with just the 2-point win by 8-10 over their cross senior rivals, leaves the Piercig with no points, and, you know, I suppose Monaleen really just marching on at the top of the group.
Monaleen just marching on, but only just the only unbeaten side in the championship. Now, apparently I know they have lost a few players who've gone abroad just for the summer, but of course on the other side of the coin, then Napiershik are without Willem O'Donoghue, who's a huge influence on their football team. I have to say I'm surprised that Napiershik are in the situation that they're in, having watched them for the last couple of years. They play a lovely brand of football. Maybe it's the type of brand of football that doesn't win the big games, but certainly it's very, very, very exciting to watch. Now, in the opening round, they got very well turned over by Drum Bradford, and well beaten enough by Adair in the second round. So I suppose they will take a certain amount out of their performance against Monaleen. Now, albeit it was a Monaleen team, they were down to 14 players for 40 minutes. They had the player sent off in the 28th minute. And Napiershik looked poised to win it at one stage. They had gone ahead late in the game. But Monaleen, being typical what champions do and what good sides do, they come good in the home straight, and they kick 3 late points to to maintain their unbeaten run. Now, Napiershik are involved in an absolutely massive game in the next round, when they will take on Rathkeel. That's a huge, huge game. It's a basement battle at this stage. It may be the game that could very well decide which of the sides goes into the relegation playoff. Now, there will be another round after that, when the Piercy will play Father Casey's and Rathkeel will play Adair. But in the context of the season, for both the clubs and in the context of the group, the meeting of Rathkeel and the Piercy in the next round in early August is a massive game.
So, Matt, yeah, some big games ahead there in Group 1, but really, I suppose, moving on to Group 2 now, we have, I suppose we'll start with St. Patrick's and St. Kieran's. A good win for St. Kieran's, and kind of pushes them up to third in the table now, and everything to play for their last two matches.
Oh, everything is to play for in St. Kieran's last two matches. I think we flagged it last week that they would win that game. Now, next up for them is a huge game. They're playing Ballysteen in what is a repeat of the West Final. Now, they had an exhilarating West Final recently when Ballysteen just nicked it by a point. So you can imagine that is going to be a huge game. And then, of course, I suppose they have even a bigger game, I suppose, in the last round when they play St. Kieran or Newcastle West. So they have huge games coming up, but they're cushioned now in that they have 4 points. If they were to pick another win, they would be safely into the knockout stages, which they just missed out on last year. Now, their performance on I think it was Friday evening, was comprehensive, as the scoreline would suggest, 2-9 to 1-7. St. Pat's added a few late scores. So St. Kieran's were convincing winners. Now, I suppose, and I harp on it again, St. Kieran's are unlucky that they're not actually on full points, because they got caught by Ballylanders at the very death in the first round. But they have bounced back in the best possible way, and they've since beaten Ula, and now they have beaten St. Pat's. They're upwardly mobile. They're in with a right chance of making the knockout stages.
That brings us on to Ula and Ballylanders. A tight affair. Ballylanders just coming out the better of it, 1-10 to 1-8. Only a 2-point win, but Ballylanders now looking to cement that second place spot in the table.
Yeah, looking to cement that. I was out at it. It's my own club, of course, and they Ballylanders for 20 minutes in the first half were irresistible. They were just fantastic. They just blew Ula out of it. But they just didn't drive on in the second half, and in the entire second half, they scored just 2 points, which going forward, you know, will not be good enough. Now, Kieran O'Callaghan started. He hasn't been starting for most of last year, or indeed for a part of the year before. And like, the big man was back, and he's a huge influential figure. He does what Kieran O'Callaghan does. He kicks points. I think he kicked 4 of their points, 2 difficult frees, and he landed a couple from play. But for one 20 minutes period, that is when the game was decided. After that, they were on the back foot, and Ula came at him. Now, Ula have reason to, you know, to be disappointed with themselves. Disappointed that over the course of the 60-odd minutes, they kicked no fewer than 14 wides, which is desperate, wayward shooting, including, I think, about 4 or 5 from trees. So they don't have to probe too far to where their difficulty was. Now, some of it was downright bad shooting. Some of it was bad decision-making in the final third. Something that you could accuse Ballylanders of too in the second half now, taking the wrong options when they got into the final third. But it's huge for Ballylanders, because, and it's a certain element of a monkey off the back of Ballylanders, because they came into this year's campaign quite worried about their status, because they had a brush with relegation last year. You will recall that they only survived maintained their status and survived in top flight with a relegation playoff over Palace Green. Now, they have literally put, I'd say, all dangers of relegation mathematically, except they could still go down, but it's unlikely on 4 points. It just doesn't happen. So you could see a liberated Ballylanders in the last 2 games. St. Patrick's is coming up next. They will see that as winnable. And then in the last round, they have Ballysteen, who are currently bottom. But we'll be talking about Ballysteen in a minute. They will see another win for Ballylanders. We'll certainly seal a playoff place. They are capable of getting it, but they will have to put the good form together for a longer period throughout the game than just a 20-minute rush.
Matt, Ballysteen and Newcastle West. We had said in our preview last week that Newcastle would have been the last team we'd want coming into round 3 after the break and after 2 defeats. But obviously, Ballysteen's success in winning the West Senior Championship stood to them.
It stood to them. And I, you know, they were lucky to get a draw. They were lucky to get a draw. But credit them for hanging in there. Because Newcastle West were 4 points clear and having said that, Newcastle West missed a couple of glorious goal-scoring chances, which would have sealed the deal. But whilst there was only 4 points in it, they were always open and susceptible to a late strike, and that's exactly what happened. And full credit to Ballysteen for hanging in there. But of Ballysteen, I have seen their 3 games so far, and you would have to say now they were lucky to get a point against Newcastle West. There is no use in saying otherwise. But they were most unlucky to come out of their 2 previous games against Ula and against St. Patrick's empty-handed. So I suppose on the swings and roundabouts, it balances up over the season. So I think very few of them were in McNeville Park, and there was a decent crowd there on Saturday evening. Will begrudge them their slice of luck. Now, They have won the West. They have come on and they've got a very good result against the league leaders in Group 2 in the third round of the championship. They now face St. Kieran's in a rematch, and then they face Ballylanders. They will see them as winnable. They will see them as winnable games, as games that they can win. So all is certainly not lost. They may be bottom on just 1 point, but their season could be about to be revived. And the question is, will they drive on? Now, for Newcastle West, I suppose in many ways, Newcastle West management will see it as a timely wake-up call. Like, they had cruised through the first two rounds, scoring 9.26 in two games. That was never going to happen the way Ballysteen set out on Saturday evening. They restricted them to 1.7. They showed glimpses of why they are free-scoring, probably over-elaborated on a number of occasions. But this thing of sitting back, you know, that is not going to win a county championship. Teams will eventually undo that. Ballysteen probably gave them the warning at the right time. I expect Newcastle West to drive on, and I expect them to finish top of the group. They have Oola coming up in the next round, followed by St. Patrick's. You would have to fancy them in both of them, even though they're a month and 2 months away, respectively. I would say for Newcastle West, in summary, Raphael, it's a timely wake-up call.